Message today is from Romans 10, verses 12 to 15 and verse 17. May God bless us in the reading of his word. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Today, we are blessed to have Brother David Chan bring to us the word. He will be preaching from the passage we have just read in a message titled Evangelizing Boldly. Before we invite him up the pulpit, Reverend John will introduce him to everyone.
Today's preacher, Brother David Chan, is one of the fellowship group member that I am part of, that we meet every Tuesday morning. Used to be on site in person. Because of COVID, we moved to meeting online, and we have been meeting online every Tuesday at 8 a.m. Since then. And really, I am the youngest among the group, actually. Yeah. And Brother David Chan is 75, and the oldest among that group is a brother. He's a Japanese. And he's serving in a Japanese church. He's 80 plus, right? So you have heard from Brother Lai Jit Ming, right? You heard from Brother Yap Kim Ming, Elder Yap. He has stepped down from eldership. So we are all in that group. So today you get to hear from Brother David Chan. Before I invite him up, let me introduce our dear Brother David. He had been working in the shipping and logistics industry for over 30 years, from which he retired almost 20 years ago, but he remained active in serving the church and the community. He worships in the City Missions Church, serves on its board of leaders, holding the chairmanship of its mission committee. He also sits on the board of a non-profit organization providing transport services to the wheelchair-bound and those suffering from mobility issues, and on the board of the Discipleship Training Center, an Evangelical Theological School, DTC. David has also been serving in the Singapore Prison Fellowship in its in-care service. He is married to Lena, and they have three daughters and two adorable grandchildren. Before we hear from Brother David Chan, let us go to God in prayer. Father, we are thankful that for the servants that has graced this pulpit. And today, Brother David is here to minister to us from your word. So we ask that God, you would use him as your mouthpiece to speak the message that you have placed upon his heart to all of us. It is a familiar message. We have heard it, we know it, and we pray, O God, as we hear it again, that you will not just be information to us, that your Spirit will take us to respond, to convict us and to empower us to respond, that we will be both hearers and doers of the word. So use him, Lord. We commit our time into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we humbly ask. Amen. Brother David.
Good afternoon, church. It's really my privilege to come this afternoon to share on God's Word with all of you. And a special thanks to Reverend John Loke for inviting me to share during your Mission Month program. Now, from what I learned, Grace SCC Church is a mission-centered church. And over the years, the church has been exemplary in its mission efforts. I think since 1974, your church has been actively supporting mission works around the world. And with your Mission at Grace initiative, your church has been making concerted efforts to promote prayers and also the giving, especially the giving of lives, to do full-time mission work and to become missionaries. And I understand your mission department is very active in promoting short-term mission trip, cultural study trip, and also mission-focused camps. And also learn from Reverend Luke that you have these members' care trips to visit missionaries out in the field. Now, this is actually very important, so you may not be aware. Like, when I visited some of our missionary from our church who was serving in Northeast Thailand, and one day I remember I spoke to this missionary who had been there for many years. So in our conversation, I asked him, what is your greatest challenge, you know, serving in this mission field? And what he told me really surprised me. And he said that the greatest challenge he has is loneliness. I was so surprised. And of course, he explained that loneliness in the sense that he cannot interact at a different level, you know, with people out there. He wants to have some kind of like support, you know, able to open up his heart to discuss on issues and all that, which he can't do in the mission field. So it's very important for you all to really make an effort to visit your missionaries regularly, to pray with them, to support them, and to tell them that, you know, you care for them and how, in any ways, you all can continue to support them in the mission field. Now, as we understand, mission is the act of sending individuals and groups out in the field to share the gospel of salvation. Well, it's a very large topic, and therefore, after prayerfully considering it, I will narrow it down just to touch on the part where it's focused on personal evangelism or doing mission at a personal and individual level. Now, before I continue, let's commit this time to the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come humbly before you to seek your word for us this afternoon. I pray that the words of my mouth and meditation of our hearts are pleasing to you. Anoint my lips so that any word which is not from you will be discarded to the four winds. And only your anointed words will go forth and not return to you void, but will accomplish what you desire and achieve the purpose for which you sent forth. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, the Bible passage just read, taken from this Romans 10, 12 to 15, and also verse 17. Now, in this passage, you can see that Paul is telling us, right? Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is very explicit. But then he went on to say that for one to call, they need to believe, right? But before they believe, they need to hear the message, right? But they can't hear the message. No one preached to them. No one talked to them about the message of salvation. So, if you think of the olden days where people are mainly illiterate, that means they can't read or write, And most of the time it's through oral transmission or by word of mouth that they can hear the message. And in verse 17 in particular, Paul makes it explicitly that faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, in fact, there are a more compelling reason why we need to share this gospel of salvation. And that's the word of Christ who spoke before he went back to his heavenly home. And that is taken from Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 to 20, what we normally call the Great Commission. I think it's familiar with all of us. He reads, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the very end of the age." Now you note here in this Bible passage, the emphasis is on the active verb, go. What it means is that we must get out of these four walls of this church to reach out to pre-believers outside who have a desire to learn about this gospel of salvation. Well, it's great that we have fellowship with one another, we have our church activities, our wonderful worship, our Bible study, and so on. There's nothing wrong with that. But what Jesus is telling us is, we don't just sit down here and gather among ourselves. We have to go and share this gospel of good news. And the all nation here in the verse is actually referring to people's group. That means it's about the different tribes, different races, different communities. It's not the geopolitical definition of nation we are so used to nowadays. So each of us as believer have to obey this commandment and go forth to share on the good news. As Hudson Taylor wrote some 100 years ago, he said, "The Great Commission is not an option to be considered. It's a command to be obeyed." Now, to illustrate this obedience of this commandment, I would like to share a true story. And this is about this gentleman, John Harper. He was one of the 2,000-odd passengers who were traveling on this ill-fated maiden voyage of the ship Titanic in April of 1912. As we all know, some 1,500 people perished in this voyage because Titanic sunk after hitting an iceberg, and there were not enough lifeboats to go around. Now, John Harper was traveling from UK to Chicago, actually, to preach at the D.L. Moody's church. Now, on the fateful night, the captain, he knew that he got a problem on hand with all the passengers crowding on the deck of the sinking ship. He wanted to sort of maintain order, so he approached John Harper to help in managing the peace among the passengers. By the way, how many of you have seen the movie Titanic? Oh, quite a few of you. You just to recall the scene when the ship was sinking, the deck was tilting, and there was pandemonium there. Everyone is crying and shouting, and the husband waving goodbye to the wife and the children who are being put in the lifeboats. And people are rushing to try to get on board the lifeboat. You know, John Harper then was there on the deck. He kissed his 6-year-old daughter Annie goodbye and placed him safely into the lifeboat. shortly after, all the lifeboats were gone, and the mighty ship started to sink, throwing all the remaining passengers into the icy Atlantic Ocean. But then God is actually at work even in this horrific tragedy. You know, John Harper wasn't afraid of dying. In fact, he gave away his life jacket to another passenger who was not wearing one. And he knew that he's going to come to face to face with his maker. But he wanted other people to know about his Lord Jesus, the Savior, at such a critical time. In fact, he was sharing the gospel of salvation with those panicking passengers on board the on the deck and urging them to repent and to come to the Lord. He even called out to all women and children to get on the lifeboat, as well as the unsaved soul to get on board the lifeboat. So John Harper was thrown into the icy ocean with death lurking around him. He yelled to a man in darkness and asked, "Are you saved?" "No," replied the man. Then John Harper said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved." As he struggled into the cold Atlantic Ocean, then these two men were drifted apart because of the current in the darkness. But later on, the current brought them back close again, weak, exhausted, and frozen. John Harper again asked this man, "Are you saved?" "No," came the reply. Then John Harper repeated again, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved." And with that, John Harper sank into the icy ocean to his watery grave. Now, the man whom John was trying to reach out to win to Christ, was eventually saved by another ship which came about maybe 1.5 hours after the sinking of the Titanic. Now, because of Harper, the man whom he rescued dedicated his life to Jesus Christ right there and then, 2 miles above the ocean floor. And he lived to tell people through his writing that he was John Harper's last convert. Now, I know this is a rather extreme example of how to reach out, you know, to evangelize and all that. But as believers, we should be ready, willing, and able to share in the gospel of salvation. Now, the good news about Jesus' death on the cross for our sin and his resurrection, his conquest of death, thus giving us eternal life and the freedom and a relationship with God. If we understand that lost souls matter to God, and if you are burdened with the knowledge that people who do not have a relationship with God will be forever separated from Him and condemned in a place the Bible calls hell, eternal damnation. And if we believe, we have the answer to life's problems and cure for spiritual deadness, then we should evangelize boldly to pronounce the gospel of salvation to anyone who cares to hear about it. But then you look around you and wonder why so many believers are not evangelizing or sharing the gospel that boldly. Why? Some may be because they are shy, but others may be reluctant to share their faith, especially to those who are close to them. Now, I do recognize there are a lot of hindrances in the way we share our faith, to share the gospel of good news. And of all the many hindrances, I would like to just share five common ones so that we take note of it and maybe guard against them. Now, the first hindrance is the absence of prayer. When I was a much younger Christian, I struggled with the difficulties in sharing the gospel with others. The harder that I tried, the more fearful I became. It was only later that I learned that when sharing the gospel about Christ, we shouldn't depend on our own capabilities, our own intellect. Okay. In fact, we can easily share the gospel if we just rely on the Holy Spirit through our prayers. The Holy Spirit will empower us. As recorded in Acts chapter 4, verse 23 to 31, when Peter, John, and the other believers were gathered together to pray to God for help while they are still in Jerusalem. And they ended up filled with the Holy Spirit and began to preach and share the gospel with boldness. Now what I do is I will pray for those I've been trying to evangelize. Actually, it's a good practice. You record maybe three or four names of people you want to reach out to. Pray over them regularly, especially during your daily devotion time. And now, when I share, before I share, I just say a silent prayer that to allow the Holy Spirit to work through me. So I'm no longer depending on my own efforts or eloquence, but instead on the Holy Spirit to work for the transformation, the conviction of the person I'm reaching out to. Because I know conversion happens at the spiritual realm. It's something beyond my capabilities or anything. So I leave it to the Holy Spirit to do the conviction. So I no longer feel the pressure that I have to convince this person, I have to convert this person, I've got to persuade this person. No more. I become just a vessel for the Holy Spirit to work His work on this. Another hindrance, the lack of knowledge. Well, sometimes we feel inadequate in sharing the gospel because we may not have been taught how to do it. Actually, the message of salvation is very simple and straightforward. The only way a person can be saved from his sinful past is not because of his good works or he need to pay a price, but by simply believing in Jesus and receiving the gift of righteousness and forgiveness of sins that only Jesus can offer to anyone who believes in Him. Well, your church have a lot of mission camps and activities. I think those camps will be helpful to teach you about cross-culture evangelism, or you can join the short-term mission trip, which expose you to a different culture setting, how to reach out to others. And there are many different ways you can reach and share the message of salvation. And also we can make use of gospel tracts. These are very useful too, actually, for you to give. Let's say you are really a very shy person, you just give out a gospel tract and pray about it. Now, some people say, oh, why you waste hundreds of gospel tract and only one person come to Christ? Well, do you know that the heaven will rejoice just for one soul coming in back to the kingdom of God? So nothing is wasted. Even you give hundreds of tracts away and only one soul is saved, it's still worth it. And for me, that is important to truly make an effort to reach out to others. Use the tracks, or even some of you are quite adventurous, you can join some of the street evangelism group in Singapore, like a Soul a Day, where they will teach you to, you know, to share the gospel with strangers on the street. Now, the third hindrance is the fear of man. This is a common hindrance. If you are still relying on your own ability, your own capability to evangelize. Of course, the way to overcome this is rely on the Holy Spirit to do the conviction and transformation. Don't rely on your own eloquence or ability to convert. As I mentioned before, this is a spiritual warfare we are going into when we try to convert a non-believers to come to Christ. The enemy doesn't like this. The devil don't want to lose the hold on this soul to our Lord Jesus. And in Proverbs 29:25, it says, fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. Now, the next is the problem of rejection. I think this is a common anxiety among many believers. If you are honest, rejection can be sometimes can hurt you deeply, especially if you try your best and you're reaching out to someone close and dear to you. In my early days as a believer, when sharing the gospel, rejection is something which took me a long time to overcome, especially the negative emotional impact. Because I have this sense of being inadequate, a sense of failure if the other person doesn't respond at all to my sharing of the gospel. But again, we can get over this when we get a right perspective, and that is conversion and conviction of the person is the work of the Holy Spirit. Actually, just think of it. Getting a person to accept Christ as Savior by itself is actually a miracle. That a non-believer coming a believer is a miracle by itself. So sometimes it may not be the timing for the person to receive Christ, but we need to continually, of course, to pray for the person and wait on the Lord for miracles to happen. Now, allow me to share a short personal testimony on this. Now, you took my sister, my younger brother, and myself, who were believers in my family, some 30 years of prayer and witnessing before my mother and father became Christian, come to the faith. Now, it happened when my father suffered a stroke some 30 years ago, and he was in a coma in the ICU for almost a week. At the time, my mother was still a very staunch ancestor worshipping Taoist, just like my father. Although my elder sister, who was the first one to come to know the Lord in my family, had been witnessing to her and sharing the gospel, my mother kept on rejecting it. Okay. Now, when my father was ill with coma, my mother challenged us to pray for recovery of our father. He said to my elder sister, if your God is that great, pray that your father recover and I will believe. Well, we could not have prayed more fervently during that time. And also that we continue to witness my mother and so on. And lo and behold, a short while later, my father was moved from the ICU to a normal ward, but he was still in a coma. But a few days later, he woke up. He was paralyzed, half the body was paralyzed. But praise the Lord, he lived for another 10 more years after that. To cut the long story short, my mother accepted Christ, and she eventually brought my father to Christ too. So I have to learn that we have to wait on the Lord. We cannot be impatient. And to accept every rejection to spur us more, to work harder, to continue to pray for the person we are reaching out to. Faith, the lack of desire. Sometimes we don't like to share the gospel because we don't feel like it, you know. This lack of desire, again, stems from a faulty relationship we can have with our Lord. As I mentioned, the Great Commission is a command for all believers. Now, to stir ourselves up, to energize up, to do the sharing of gospel, we need to develop our faith based on the Word of God and walk intimately with the Lord to develop an obedient attitude to the Lord and prepare to serve Him in whatever we do. Now, the desire can grow in us if we develop the right attitude and have greater faith in serving our Lord Jesus. If we have a burden for the lost souls, it should not be that difficult to develop that desire to share the good news. Just think about it. You take an example. When you come across hawkers who serve very delicious and tasty fried Hokkien prawn noodle, wouldn't you like to share with your friends and tell them, hey, this is such a great, you know, Hokkien noodle, you know, you can have and all that. What more if you're sharing the gospel of salvation, of eternal life with your friends? Now, looking, reviewing all these five hindrances, we can actually pick up three areas, key areas, practical areas, where we help us to evangelize more boldly. But remember, when we evangelize boldly, we should do it with love, with gentleness, and respect. Now, this first key area is consistent and daily prayer life and daily reading of the Word of God. Now, to make sure your sharing comes effectively, it should come from this foundation. When Peter and John proclaimed the gospel before the Sanhedrin, as recorded in Acts chapter 4, the religious leaders noted that Peter and John were not well educated, and yet they share with boldness. And this comes from the time they have been sharing with Jesus, as recorded in verse 13 of chapter 4. No, the disciples already spent time in the company of Jesus, the Son of God. So too, we must spend time with our Lord Jesus too. We have to make sure He's real to us, not just head knowledge, but we develop this intimate relationship with Jesus and to build up the relationship with Him over time. Less vulgar time we spend watching all those Korean TV drama, or scrolling your handphone endlessly, or surfing the internet aimlessly all the time. Because the greatest wrath, or the greatest devious way the devil preventing believers from sharing the gospel is by making them busy with a lot of activities. Do you know the English word spelled busy, B-U-S-Y? It stands for being under Satan's yoke. So beware. Don't keep yourself too busy. Okay, the second area when sharing the gospel is to ask the Lord for discernment. We ask Lord to guide us as to who to approach, what to say, how to say, and pray for wisdom before the sharing, during the sharing, or even after the sharing, right? Because we are engaged in a spiritual warfare. You must remember, spiritual warfare for the lost soul. As Paul pointed out in Ephesians 6:12, that our battle is not against the flesh and blood, but against the evil spirit. As suggested earlier, maybe put 3 to 4 names of people you want to evangelize and pray over them. And maybe also in your small group, you all can share all those names you want to evangelize. Maybe as a group, you can go forth and evangelize to these people. Allow the Holy Spirit to be your guide and mentor in this outreach. And the third area is to bathe in the gospel message. Now, you want to really reach out boldly to the non-believers, then we have to continually bathe ourselves in the gospel message so that we are preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and not your own gospel, okay? We must share the full gospel. In other words, we have to tell the what the scripture is telling us, even including the unpleasant parts of sins, condemnation, eternal damnation. Because just think of it, pre-believers will not acknowledge they are sinners if they are not able to grasp the life-changing truth of salvation, that they are sinners, they need to repent, they need to have a new life through Christ. This may be a bit difficult, especially if you're sharing with someone maybe senior, someone close to you, dear to you, like your parents. Well, let me just share a bit of my personal story of this. All my siblings and my family have been Christian for a long time, except my eldest brother. I came from a family of 9, 3 boys, 6 girls. I'm number 6, so in between. And the oldest was my eldest brother. Even when my parents came to know Christ, as I shared earlier, my eldest brother didn't want to have anything to do with it. He still remained very stubborn and staunch in his atheist belief that there is no God. And of course, we have been sharing the gospel message with my eldest brother regularly. But looking back, I realized the stumbling block for us is we didn't really share the full gospel in the sense that we didn't show him how sinful he was and why you need Jesus to have a new life. Because if not, the eventual judgment, the eternal condemnation will come on anyone who did not accept Christ. Maybe because of our respect for him as being the eldest in the family, especially after my parents passed on, he was the eldest in my family. So we shared the gospel, but we did not go all the way to, you know, sort of tell him that, hey, you are a sinner, you know? You have done this, that, not done wrong, and so on. However, in last year, early 2024, my eldest brother became very ill. Rather suddenly, because he was a very healthy person, exercised a lot and all that. And all of us are really very serious praying to the Lord not to take him home until we have a chance to share again the gospel with him and for him to respond to this message of salvation. So what happened? We took a more direct approach. We went straight and tell them, you are a sinner. You have done this wrong, done that wrong. You know? You got to repent and accept Jesus as the Savior, the only one who can save you from eternal damnation, and so on. I again just shared the gospel with him and also left a lot of gospel tracts for him. It was only when his condition worsened a few weeks later that actually he reached out to me. He was trying to call me, wanted to see me. But unfortunately, I was traveling overseas then. So I only could speak to him over the telephone. At that time, the Holy Spirit impressed on me that this is the last chance for my eldest brother to accept Christ. And because the Lord will bring him soon, bring him home very soon. Well, praise the Lord, I able to lead my eldest brother to say the sinner's prayer. And after that phone call, I text him briefly what we have gone through and also repeat the message of salvation to him. And 2 days later, I got the sad news that my brother passed away peacefully without regaining consciousness. Although my sister-in-law, who is a very staunch Buddhist, insisted on a non-religious funeral ceremony with a sea burial for my brother, I did not feel anything bad. In fact, I felt a peace in me because knowing that my brother has accepted Christ as his Savior. So I didn't engage in the family discussion on the funeral arrangement and so on. So right now, my sister-in-law is my focus on sharing the gospel with her. Well, I learned from this experience, time is short. If you have a burden to win a lost soul, especially those close to you, don't slack. Don't wait. Don't wait for the right time. Don't wait for the convenient time. The time is now for you to reach out to your loved one and those close to you. Well, in conclusion, telling someone the good news about our Lord Jesus and his salvation is really not very difficult, if you believe in it. And this is because we are not imposing our own thinking, our own set of morality or spirituality in sharing the gospel. We are telling the truth of God's love for them and allow them to understand that they are made in the image of God, and God wants them to be saved. Well, let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, this is the timely message to remind us to obey the command of our Lord Jesus to go and make disciples of all nations. Enable us to be obedient to this command and empower us to fulfill this command. Make us effective channels to share the good news of our Lord Jesus as a Savior to all who need to receive this. Let us evangelize boldly with the help of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.